Seattle's Morning News, this is Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. You may have heard it said that social media could become addictive to your child and even affect his or her mental health. Let's call on the doctor.
Paging Dr. Cohen.
Dr. Gordon Cohen, MD. I'm curious how you can study the effects of such a thing. Are there any controlled experiments on this, Dr. Cohen?
There is a new study. It just came out. Before I go any further, I have to tell you, there are a lot of studies on this topic. And the studies show all kinds of different things. But this most recent study, which came out of Canada, was more of a longitudinal study. And so it gives probably a little bit better insight into whether or not social media is actually causing depression. As it stands, there's this notion that social media has really a negative impact on our mental well-being. And it's really a widespread notion. The researchers in this particular study, they sought to try and do it in a more controlled fashion. They looked at both young kids in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and then they also looked at university students. They wrote up a series of questions that focused on how much time they spent on social media on weekdays and weekends, as well as how much time they spent on activities such as watching TV or exercising or doing their homework. And then they also looked at symptoms of depression. They used a standardized scoring tool designed by the Center for Epidemiological Studies, and it's their depression scale. And then they used a similar but more age-appropriate version for the younger participants. They looked at all the data that they collected. They broke it into the different age groups, different gender groups. What they found was that in this really pretty well-done study, all things considered, that social media use didn't actually lead to depressive symptoms later on in life. And this really held true in both groups of participants. The researchers, they also found that in adolescent females, that higher depression symptoms predicted later social media use. From this study, what the authors concluded is that overuse of social media doesn't necessarily lead to depression. Their hope was that this would help to dissuade public fear over the impacts of technology. Now, there's a lot of studies. This is just one study. And it was a more longitudinal study because it was done over time with a pretty large group of patients. But it's really more likely that there are differences in factors such as your personality that play a part in how social media can actually impact your mental well-being. For example, some young people might actually choose to use social media negatively as a comparison tool. They'll see what other people are doing and they'll use it to compare themselves, whereas others may just simply use it to stay in touch with friends. And obviously, there's a kind of a difference in the overall mental health aspects of those two approaches. If you're using it as a comparison tool, that's probably unhealthy. Whereas if you're using it to just stay in touch with friends, that's more healthy.
Well, that makes sense. I was going to ask you, merely the amount of time you spend on social media wouldn't be the thing to worry about, it seems to me. Although, I mean, if it's keeping you away from, you know, your homework, but it's how you use it. So if you're using it to troll people or, as you say, compare yourself, then that's one thing. If you're using it simply to keep in touch with friends or distant relatives, that's very different.
Right. And one of the things that's clear to me from reading these different studies is it's somewhat of a chicken and an egg kind of question. Are people who are more prone to depression more likely to spend excessive amounts of time on social media, or does social media lead to depression? Now, I just told you about the one study that says that it probably doesn't, but unfortunately, there's conflicting studies. There's conflicting studies to say that social media use does contribute to depression. There are studies that say it does contribute to anxiety and anger and aggressiveness. It can even be addictive. The research community can't even agree on what the definition is of problematic social media use. And without a good definition, it's hard to take it into the next step. But every one of these papers and every one of these studies has tried to come up with their own specific definition and then use that to conduct their own study.
Well, this is why we call you up, Dr. Cohen. You've read the studies, you are a parent yourself, and you're a doctor. So having read through all this, what do you think is a rational way for a parent to tackle this?
As you know, my approach is always to do things in moderation because I really think that's really the best way to generally take care of your health. You know, how do you approach social media use in moderation when it's become so prevalent. I mean, if you try to do virtually anything online now, even your homework, they oftentimes ask you to sign on with Google or Facebook. So because we've become such a technology-driven society and we spend so much time in front of our computers, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's doing our homework, whatever, and social media is so present in all of it, it's really hard to determine what moderation actually is.
Dr. Gordon Cohen, MD. Dr. Cohen, thank you.
Thanks, Dave.